The Internet, the final frontier.
Hey, you're listening to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's a podcast. You listen to it with your ears. This is a special guest interview recorded at MAGFest 2013, Music and Gaming Festival in National Harbor, Maryland. 4 straight days of music, video games, and wild debauchery. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere.
And we've got our special guest, John St. John here.
Some call me that.
Some call you that. Some call you, of course, the king.
Yeah. I've been called worse. So.
People have hailed to you before.
They do. Yeah, yes, people hail me all the time.
Cool. You're obviously well known for Duke Nukem, but you do other stuff, actually.
Yeah, I've done, nearly 160 games altogether.
Nice.
Yeah.
You were actually telling me yesterday that you had done the voice for Captain America. On Marvel vs. Capcom 1.
The very first arcade game. Yeah, that was one of the first voiceover gigs I ever did. I was Captain America.
All right, what were some of your, was it like...
You're not going to ask me to recite lines or
No, I'm not. It's just like...
Because there's no way, man.
Because, like, I just, I don't know, like, we actually found this thing at, like, Walmart, and it's like, fight the good fight, soldier, and I'm like, oh, please, don't tell me it was, like, anything like that. I don't know, but...
Actually, if it's the first Marvel vs. Capcom...
Yeah, the first one was...
I think I actually had that for a PS1. Mm-hmm. Was it just the arcade version?
It was just the arcade version.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've never even actually heard the tracks before. Mm. A friend of mine did text me a few months ago and say, hey, that game is at a Pizza Hut in Palm Springs. he had played it, and he said, oh, yeah, it was you. I could tell it was you, man. So I'm thinking after I get home, I'm going to take a weekend and go to Palm Springs and see if that machine is still there, because I've never heard it before. And generally, I get to hear everything I've done, everything I've recorded, but I've never seen that arcade game anywhere.
Yeah. On vacation to a Pizza Hut.
Exactly.
To be honest, I really haven't seen it much either. It's always Marvel's and Capcom 2.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. No, you're at the Pizza Hut. You're at the Taco Bell. You're at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
I'll have a roll of quarters with me just to make sure I can hear my character say something.
Right on, man.
All hey,
right.
Everybody, check this out.
Hey, everybody, he's going for the high score. So, when did you first start getting into voice acting? Like, when did you first click, yeah, I want to do voice acting, or, like, when did you start getting into the business?
It should have occurred to me when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And in the 60s, when I was imitating cartoons on Saturday morning TV. But I had no idea at that time. That was just something funny I did. My brothers were amazed that, you know, both of my brothers older than me. I was the youngest of 4. And they were amazed that I was doing these voices when I was a little kid, you know, because I had a pretty big voice from an early age. And so then I was a radio DJ for about 30 years and a production director. And in 1995, while I was a production director in San Diego, Lonnie Manella, who's one of the top casting directors for video games with Audio Gods, that's her company, she was coming to the radio station to do a commercial project that I was producing. And she was doing all these crazy, wild voices. And she, by the way, is like one of the most incredibly talented voice actors you've ever heard that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's amazingly good. And so I started, you know, showing off, doing voices back at her. And she said, wow, that's pretty good. Have you ever considered doing voice acting for video games? And I said, really? Is there voiceover in video games? At the time, there really wasn't much. I mean, what was I playing at the time? Wolfenstein? Doom? There were really no
voiceover
recordings. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you were already a gamer before you started doing voices for video games.
Not really, and still not really much of a gamer. I can't say I'm a gamer. I have kids. They're the gamers. I spend time raising them, you know,
well, the
trying to pay bills.
The definition nowadays of what a gamer is anyways is
it has
too
changed.
Ambiguous to even
matter. Yeah. It has changed a lot, but back in the day, like I was saying, 94, 95, when she showed up to come to the radio station and asked me if I was interested in doing voiceovers for video games, I said, sure, anything I can do to make extra money, of course. And I had no idea it was going to turn into what it did.
Yeah.
I mean, among the first games I did, Candyland and Duke Nukem 3D were like back-to-back, which is kind of weird.
Oh, my God. Were you King Candy?
King Candy is the one male character of the entire game I did not do. That was, I think that was a fellow named Jeff, might have been Jeff McNeil, I'm not sure who it was. But I'm Lord Licorice and Gloppy and Pukey and Funky and whoever all the other male characters are. I don't even know their names. But I did all of those. King Candy was another fellow.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Cool. So do you have any questions that you'd like to ask real fast? I have all sorts of questions.
Do you have any inspirations in terms of other voice actors that you draw inspirations from or people that you find that are just fascinating?
Pretty much everybody I hear who has a unique voice. Like, I just love Patrick Stewart's voice. I think, Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation Starship Enterprise. You know, I liked his his voice so much that I started imitating him. And on a side note, I think it's interesting that if you've seen the national car rental commercials,
mm-hmm.
he's the one saying, go like a pro business traveler. Pick any car from the aisle. And why is Patrick Stewart doing national car rental when there's Enterprise Rent-A-Car?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
I don't get that. Shouldn't he be going, go Enterprise and engage? I mean, that would have been perfect. But no, I draw inspiration from everybody with unique voices and well, at least the ones suited to my vocal range. When I was younger, I did a lot of high-range characters, but as I've gotten older and my throat more worn out, you know, I'm stuck with the lower-range stuff. Like, I used to do a killer takeoff of the Crypt Keeper. Do you remember Tales from the Crypt?
Yep.
In fact, the game Twisted Metal 4, I'm the Sweet Tooth spokesperson.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, the intro on that game. And my inspiration was the Crypt Keeper, and that character does sound a lot like that. But I find that I can only do voices like that for a very short, limited time now before it really takes its toll. The voices that never seem to affect me at all are the lower range stuff. Duke Nukem's the easiest voice I've ever done. It's just there. I don't even have to try. It's just there. And the inspiration for that, by the way, if you're interested, I know I'm going off on a tangent.
No, go ahead.
This is a tangent we want to go on.
Oh, okay then. When I was auditioning for that part in the production studio of the radio station in San Diego where I lived, they had George Broussard, who kind of created Duke, he and Randy Pitchford, and one other fellow whose name I'm losing now. Anyway, George was on the phone from Texas listening, saying, okay, here's what we want to do. He had his own idea of who he thought Duke was going to sound like. But Lonnie, who was directing me in the studio, said, grit your teeth together and think of Dirty Harry.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, his famous line, go ahead, punk, make my day.
Mm-hmm.
And George, over the phone, said, that's the right attitude, that's the right sound, but Duke is pumped up on steroids. He's way bigger than Dirty Harry. I said, oh, so bring it down an octave? He goes, yeah, try that. I went, go ahead, make my day. He said, that's the voice we want right there. You nailed it. It took about 5 minutes to figure that out. And then from there, I just ran with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the lower timbre voices now are so easy for me. The higher ones, I can't maintain them for very long.
The thing I think is interesting about voice acting is when you create a voice, you're also creating a personality. Like, the two are one and the same. Like,
and, you know, I didn't get that for years. I mean, it must have been 1998 or 99 before I realized. I didn't know there were fans of Duke Nukem out there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I mean, they sent me a copy of the game, and my oldest brother and I used to play Duke Match online. He was in Virginia, mm-hmm. and I was in California, and we'd be playing. And it never occurred to me that there was a following of any kind. I knew the game had sold well for 2 years. It sold like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the first-person shooter that people really got into. But I had no idea there was any kind of following at all. Until like 98 or so, and then when I started doing conventions, then it was clear that people love me.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they do. It's great thing.
I mean, that's a nice surprise to have. And while we're on the subject of Duke Nukem, I'm sure you've gotten this question many, many, many times, but it's the one question that I've always wanted to ask you ever since I played Duke Nukem, and that's about the line, you know, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
Bruce Campbell's line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another Bruce, and I'll rip off your head and shit down your neck.
Well, that line is also in the movie They Live,
which
I thought was where it originally came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask if you'd seen that movie and if you're a fan of it.
I have not, believe it or not.
Really?
That's the one with Rowdy Roddy Piper, right?
Yeah, Roddy Piper.
Oh, I've heard all about it. I mean, people have told me about it for years.
Yeah, that's why I got that question, because that's where I was like, and of course I had played the game before I saw that movie, and then I saw that movie and I was like, he copied Duke Nukem, and I was like, wait, this movie's from, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
So I'm like, guess it's the other way around, but I don't know. It's just a great line.
I like the way that those lines also have evolved into... okay, Bruce Campbell may have done them first, but they became Duke Nukem's signature lines.
Yeah.
And I don't know why... Well, obviously, because the video games are so popular. I didn't make those lines. I don't write the scripts or anything.
Right.
I just read them. So obviously they were all ripped off, but that was part of the thing about Duke Nukem 3D that everybody loves. Like, oh, they're ripping shit off from other places,
yeah.
You know. And but Duke made those lines his own. And so most people know the origin, but they still associate those lines with Duke Nukem,
yeah,
which
well,
is pretty cool.
And speaking of Bruce Campbell, have you ever worked with him? Because I know he's done a lot of voice acting, too.
Yeah, he has. No, I haven't, but I did find out last year when I was here that, you know, I've been a Bruce Campbell fan. I like his work. And I found out when I was here last year, somebody told me that he's a fan of mine.
Oh, really?
Like,
that's awesome.
Really? So apparently he enjoyed the fact that Duke Nukem used those lines and has apparently no issue with it. And so I hope that we get to meet at some point, maybe arm wrestle.
Mm-hmm. And the other person I wanted to ask if you've worked with is David Hayter.
I have not
voice
worked
of,
with David.
Solid Snake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not yet, but at some point I know our paths will cross.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many game projects out there on a daily basis. There's stuff going on.
Going back to Bruce Campbell, you know whose path? You know where your paths should cross?
Where's that?
Bird Notice.
That would be sweet.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question. Now, obviously, you talked about voice acting, and yes, it's your own personality. I was recently listening to a podcast that Kevin Smith does. Called Batman on Batman, and he was talking to Tara Strong.
Mm-hmm.
You might have heard of her.
Oh, yeah, I know Tara.
And she was talking about how people like to come up to her and say, oh, I can do voice acting. I can do a funny voice. And she's like, it's not about doing a funny voice.
Right, it's about acting.
It's about acting. It's about... And she... would you agree that whenever you come up with a character, it's in your own space in your head, and it's not like, you know, oh, well, I'm confusing this person with that person because...
It is pretty much in your own head, because the spin I put on a character is going to be completely different from what another voice actor might do.
Yeah.
And my motivations and my personal experience and background kind of bring that all together. When I do Duke Nukem, I'm dredging up all this anger inside of me that I don't even know I have. But it's weird. I never even thought about that until I started voice acting, that you do draw something from within you. You know, and I can't really put my finger on it. I can't explain it. But your mind goes to a certain place where you start thinking that character, I am that character, and boom, it's like you're channeling some other personality through your voice. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true, and that's why no matter who does the project, everybody's going to give it a different spin.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned John Wayne as being one of the inspirations for Duke Nukem, and it reminded me of, again, talking about podcasts, a podcast that Maurice LaMarche was on recently about, you know, his inspiration for voices like The Brain being Orson Welles and a whole bunch of other ones that were, all seem to come from particular particular famous people.
Who he probably imitated when he was younger and then developed that into.
So is that sort of like the most common way that voice actors work is they take an existing voice that's like really well known and then
exactly, and here's a perfect example of that in World of Warcraft. I'm King Varian Wrynn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me doing Patrick Stewart. That's all it
is. Coming full circle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
By chance, were you ever on Next Gen? No, I guess you weren't. That's a stupid.
No, I have a couple of buddies who were actually on the TV show, though. Mark and Brian, they were radio personalities at KLOS in Los Angeles. I was their producer years ago. And they had bit parts on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so I think we should talk about MAGFest a little bit.
Let's talk about MAGFest, Joe.
Yeah.
Yes,
we are here to cover MAGFest.
Yes, we are.
Talk about the event. How many MAGFests have you been to?
This is officially my fourth. I started with MAGFest 8, which was at the other location, the Mark, over in Alexandria, and it was on New Year's Eve.
Really?
Was my very first MAGFest night. Was New Year's Eve back in 2000. What was it?
What decade?
You know, 4 years ago.
1949.
Well, let me do the math. 2005.
Some video games ago.
What year?
What year is it?
Yeah, really, I have no recollection. But MAGFest for me is without a doubt my favorite con of all of them, and I really attribute that to the fans. I embrace the fans as much as they embrace me. Mm-hmm. And you know, the first year I was here, everybody was so intimidated. They'd walk by. I'd see people walk by me in the hallway looking and go, and then they'd be 10 feet behind me and go, that was John St. John. It's like, and I'd turn around and go, well, then why don't you come over and say hi? What the hell? Come over here. Really? And shake my hand. Can I shake your hand? Yeah, give me a hug. And I'm hugging people.
You're a person? What? What?
And yeah, it's funny how
you're not gonna rip my head off and shit down my neck.
Yeah, it's like, don't be intimidated. I'm just a voice actor. I'm not Duke Nukem. I'm just another douchebag who happens to have a cool voice or whatever, you know. And I want to meet everybody. And the fans here at MAGFest in the last 3 years have really learned that I am that approachable. I really will come up and hug your ass in a heartbeat. And it all goes back to what I said earlier. I feel so blessed and fortunate to have fans. How many people in this world have a job with a perk like that?
Yeah.
You know, not and many. This is unconditional love from these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, cool. I take on a lot of positive vibes from people when I come to MAGFest. And I leave here feeling, I don't know, just...
On air?
Yeah, charged.
Yeah.
With a positive feeling when I go home. And I know that's why on Facebook, for instance, there's a page for the MAGFest post-depression group. Because 2 days after I get home, I guarantee next Wednesday and Thursday, I'm going to be depressed.
Yeah.
Because, oh, this was such a great time.
Yeah.
And I get home, it's like, oh, I want to do it again. Winter. It's going to be a year.
I'm actually a member of that Facebook.
Oh, my.
Yeah, yeah. We all feel it, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on, this is a great time. It's more...
This is our vacation.
I was doing an interview earlier today for a documentary that's being made about MAGFest. And they asked me, they said, what is it about MAGFest that makes it what it is? Well, it's not the panels. It's not the rock and roll live shows. It's not the gaming and all of that. It's the camaraderie. It's all of us together doing this thing together.
Yeah.
That it's a life of its own.
It's the Colossus yell.
And you know, and there are many other cons that are huge. Comic-Con is gigantic, but it's not the same thing. That's a lot of individuals going... Sorry about that. That's a lot of... a little gassy this morning. That's a lot of individuals going to a con to do what they want to do. It's not about a bunch of people coming together and bonding like we do at MAGFest. Yeah. You know, do you get that feeling too?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it's a whole feeling. MAGFest is a very special thing.
I mean, when I'm here, I get that sense of nostalgia just going into the arcade room. It's just like I'm home, you know? It's awesome.
The arcade room is huge this year.
He just spread it out.
It gets better. They're not all crammed together. Like, remember over at the Mark, they were all in one, like, little hallway. Right. They had all those arcade games.
I like that they dimmed the lights. They made it look more like arcade. And
it feels like you're in Tron all of a sudden.
Yes. It's awesome. It's very cool.
Yes, there are more pinball machines, which I like. There's like twice as many pinball
machines. The atmosphere in the arcade room is perfect this year. They every year, they amaze me at MAGFest. They dial everything in so well.
Yeah. I mean, if I can make anything, like, I think last year, because they had so much room, they probably didn't know exactly what to do with all that room.
Yeah.
But now they totally do, because they know they have like four different spaces for four different things. And it's...
Yeah, and exhibitors have two huge spaces that are separate this year, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. They're not so crammed together.
Yeah.
I like it. This con will continue
huge
to grow.
Venue.
Well, yeah, our first year going was MAGFest 9 when it was at the Hilton.
Yeah.
Everything
the
was
last
crammed.
Was
the Everyone's like sitting in the hallway.
Eating Chinese food in that hallway by the merch table. Just
I will say there are positive sides to the Hilton Mark too, or the Mark Hilton, what do they call it? Whatever it was.
It's the Hilton.
Yeah. Over in Alexandria.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, when we used to be in Alexandria. There were upsides to that too. I mean, that is that hotel cannot compare to the Gaylord, which is fantastic. I love this place. But you may recall MAGFest 9 and 10, I had there was always an entourage of people following me around because I was trying to break the room parties record, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which I did. I did 32 room parties in one night.
Nice.
And the thing was, I'd have this rowdy group of people following me, and they were noisy and obnoxious and drunk and all of that. We could get away with it over there. When we came here last year, I said, you know what? I can't do that again. I'm not going to be responsible in a nice establishment like this for having drunken reprobate follow me around, making trouble, tearing down exit signs. And that was not my group of people, by the way. I cited an example from last
There's
year.
There's kids here who want to meet Shrek.
Yeah.
They for just want to say. But no, it's funny because when we walk in here, the second time we joked just as much about it the first year. We're like, they really made a mistake letting people like us into this hotel.
That's how I felt about it, too. I was like, oh my God, really? They're going to hold it here?
My blood's not blue enough for this. I had to have my pinky out. I was like, oh yes, let's go game.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is a nice hotel.
But it's good.
Really
and I hope that the people who come to this convention, especially people who return, I think they're respectful of the property, and you know we've gone through this before, blah blah blah. It's the newbies, and there's a lot of them this year. I mean, this con is growing exponentially. And it's the newbies who come in, and I don't mean to pick on maybe the younger attendees, but those who don't have as much experience holding and handling their alcohol, you know, who do the stupid things, you know, like I was saying last year, somebody tearing down the exit signs. The year before that, somebody ripped down all the lamps in a hallway, you know, over at the other location. Come on, there's no need for that. We're all here to have fun and party, but partying doesn't mean destroying property.
It's not Project X.
Yeah, you're not.
Yeah, thank you. Well put. Yeah.
It's definitely growing in volume this year. Like you probably can tell by the Proto Man concert and how many people are going to be there in that huge.
Those guys are so fun. There's a band that I'd love to see come to MAGFest. And I mentioned it to a couple of the staffers. Hopefully they'll invite them. And they're from my town. They're from San Diego. I met them at YomaCon in Detroit this last November.
Mm-hmm.
They're called Steam Powered Giraffe.
That is an awesome name.
That is amazing.
They're an awesome group. These guys have makeup and costumes that make them look like very robotic. And they have a choreographed show they do that is just really cool. The writing is funny. The musicianship is fantastic. So I'm hoping to talk MAGFest into getting Steam Powered Giraffe out here next year.
That sounds very cool. What kind of music do they play?
It's game music for the most part, and a lot of original compositions. Really cool stuff. You guys would enjoy them.
That's right up our alley.
That's awesome. Wrap it up?
Yeah.
Actually,
you got one more?
Yeah, let's
let's have a question from the back
camera,
of the room,
man.
Please.
One question. Do you ever get a chance to look at your Wikipedia page?
I have looked at it before. You know, the first time that pork sandwich is coming up again. Right. The first time I even knew that I had a Wikipedia page, my brother, who just unfortunately passed away a few weeks ago, back in, around 2000, I think, emailed me one day and goes, "Holy crap, did you know you have a Wikipedia page?" And my response was, "What's Wikipedia?" He goes, "Go to this link." And I click on it and went, "Holy crap, somebody started a web page about me that I don't know about?" And then I learned immediately what Wikipedia is, and I was amazed that there's as much information about me as there is on Wikipedia. It's probably the best source for the games I've done.
Mm-hmm. And I bring it up because when we were doing research to ask you questions today, I pulled up your Wikipedia page, and I just, this the only picture they have on here of you is interesting, to say the least.
Let's see, which one is that?
And shows in the picture.
Oh, isn't she a babe, too?
Right.
Yeah, the picture he's showing me right now is me licking the knee of a young lady that I think that was taken at MAGFest.
I could
be wrong.
I love the caption on it. It says John St. John
with
a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'm so pleased that they chose that photograph. Because that really does kind of... Yeah, that's my personality. These conventions, I'm wild and loose and
fun. And I salute you for it too.
Sir. Oh, thank you very much.
Yes, reputation has preceded.
Here, let me salute you right back. I just gave him.
That is an honor.
I just got pissed off
with the bird.
All right, cool. Well, we're gonna wrap this up, but
let's wrap it. Wrap that rascal.
Indeed.
As it were.
Well, thank you for coming by.
It was
absolutely
my pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Oh, do you have any plugs of anything you're doing recently?
Oh, yeah. Get my iOS game Team Awesome is out now. 99 cents from the
I saw
iTunes
that with the tapping of the fingers.
Is
and how
it
fast
cool?
It looked
like
awesome when it was looking over the shoulder of somebody. Yeah.
It's a fun game. And it's just me. I'm good. You're awesome. You know? And then also there's a Super Bunny Breakout. which is another iOS game.
Sounds interesting.
And when I return home on Tuesday morning, I have a session for the Star Trek Online game. I'll be reprising the role of Bavat. He's a Klingon. And I think a new character, I don't know if I'm allowed to, well, I didn't sign a non-disclosure agreement, so I think I can tell you. I don't know if he's Klingon or what he is, but a character named Seven Toes. So I'll be doing creating a voice on Tuesday morning for a character called Seven Toes. I don't even know what he is yet, but the director, Lonnie Manella, once again, who got me the Duke Nukem role and got me started voice acting, this came through her. So she will, over the phone, give me a character description and say, we want this much gravel in the voice, or we want it this smooth, we want it in this range, you know, for tonality, and this is the attitude, and here's how I want you to draw. And you know, she and I will banter back and forth for 10 minutes or so while I dial in the voice. And then when she goes, that's it, that's where I have to lock it into my brain. Because, you know, it's easy to drift out of character if you don't really focus on it. So once we dial the voice in, I'll be doing that. So look for more DLC stuff for Star Trek Online featuring yours truly.
Fantastic.
And buy those games and help put my kids through college. Thank you.
All right. Well, for Bold to Go Nowhere, I'm Brian.
I'm Sean.
I'm Justin.
And catch you later. Oh, and Colin too.
Oh, you were on the show, dude. I'm just
you're just in the background.
This is the worst wrap up ever.
Goodbye.
Thanks for Bold to Go Nowhere. There you go.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.
This is John St. John. You know me better as Duke Nukem, and you're listening to Boldly Going Nowhere, the podcast that kicks ass and chews bubblegum.